Northern Colorado never stops. Neither do we. This is NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. Here's Tanner Schwint.
All good things got to come to an end at some point, right? That's where the Denver Nuggets winning streak ended last night. Six games as they fall to the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's not one that many people had. The Nuggets were favored by 16 points to win this and lost outright and lost by 12, actually. That is a huge swing. The Thunder get just their 20th win on the year last night, beating the Nuggets 119-107 in Denver. This is one of those bad losses. I mean, this is kind of your head scratching, okay, what's going on? But look, in the NBA, everybody's got enough talent to win on any given night, but you don't expect this. I mean, they had a couple of guys go off, did the Oklahoma City Thunder, but for the Nuggets, it was Nikola Jokic, you know. Bones Highland had a nice night. Bryn Forbes, a nice night as well, but just not enough. When Nikola Jokic is the only starter to score in double digits, you're not going to win a lot of games. Aaron Gordon finished with 9. He was 4 of 12 from shooting. Just a cold night. Just an off night for the Nuggets, shooting 44%, 26% from the three-point line, and the Oklahoma City Thunder took advantage of it. But the Nuggets are starting to roll a little bit. Until last night, they were like I said, on a six-game winning streak. They were closing things down. They were closing the gap on the rest of the Western Conference. And now, do you worry about them, or do you just kind of scratch that one up to it was an off night? I think that's what you tend to do with the Nuggets. You got to just kind of say that's a little head scratching, but no, I wouldn't worry too much about it. The Nuggets sitting at 36-26. They're 10 games above 500 as they continue to try and just tread water until Michael Porter Jr. or Jamal Murray, they can get back in and get rolling. They play tomorrow night against the Houston Rockets at 7 o'clock. That one's at home as well. But the Nuggets 3.5 back of Utah. You just don't want to get into the weird play-in tournament, games, whatever you want to call it, where you have to go play, you know, the 10 seed just wacky. So stay at the 6 seed, try and move up, but I think the Nuggets are going to be just fine. The UNC Bears are in action tonight. The Montana Gauntlet has started or will start tonight for the Northern Colorado Bears, starting with Montana tonight. There's no chance of winning the Big Sky now. Can't catch them. But what you can do is continue to better your position in the Big Sky Conference Tournament. Right now, if the season ended right now today, tonight's game would actually be a matchup for the Big Sky Tournament, Montana and UNC. This could tell us a lot here of where things could fall, because right now it looks like this is pretty well locked up. The Big Sky is at the top part of the conference anyhow. Montana State, Weber State, Southern Utah, UNC, and Montana. Those will be the five teams that will have that first round by Eastern Washington sitting in that sixth spot. But they're two games back of Montana. UNC should get that. They've locked in that first round by. This is how it's going to play out. How confident are you about their play against Montana? They beat them once this year. But that feels like so long ago. Feels like so long ago that was the case. UNC, they can put up points, man. But can they, in the playoffs, can they win with a little bit of a slower pace? You know, in the playoffs and the tournament areas, that's where basketball teams want to slow it down. Let's play it possession by possession. Force them into a half-court offense. They certainly have the talent to go do that. But can they put it together consistently enough to go and win, you know, four games in the Big Sky tournament? I'm not sure about that one. Let's see what else going on in the sports world. Not a whole lot going on tonight. Like I said, the UNC Bears, the big one. You can hear that call tonight against Montana with pregame starting at 6:30 here on KFKA. Jerry Schimmel on the call, 7 o'clock. That one gets underway tonight. The one game that we do have going on is the Colorado Avalanche. They are on the road taking on the Arizona Coyotes at 7 o'clock tonight. The Avs, I mean, do we even need to spend a whole lot of time on it? I get yelled at on Twitter every time that I put out there that I watch an Avs game. What is with hockey fans? Why are you gate? It's the most bizarre thing. Why are you gatekeeping hockey from other people? You complain and you whine when people don't talk about it. And then when we talk about it, you're like, oh, let me guess, you're bored in between football and basketball. Wait, basketball's still going on. No, I just wanted to check out a hockey game. My bad. It's so bizarre to me. Probably going to get yelled at right now for this. For even talking about the Avs for that little amount. There you go. All right, 10-11 time. Let's go ahead and get a quick break. Before we do, I want to say thanks to Doug O'Connell and Jay Schmidt with Futurity First Insurance Group. Planning your retirement out is very important. These guys have 35 years of experience here in Northern Colorado to help you get in the best situation that you can as retirement closes in for you. Call them Doug O'Connell, Jay Schmidt, Futurity First Insurance Group. 10-11 the time. I believe we're going to have the lawyers up next. We'll have Ask a Lawyer. Get those questions ready. 888-530-0043. It's Snoco Now, presented by the J9 Agencies on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
For the latest on the Broncos, the Nuggets, and the Rockies, listen to The Hull Show, weekdays at noon on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The information, comments, and links provided on this segment do not constitute legal advice. No attorney-client relationship has been or will be formed by any communications to, from, or with the listener and attorneys. For legal advice, contact an attorney actively practicing in your jurisdiction. Do not send any confidential or privileged information to the attorneys or radio show. Nor shall the attorneys, radio show, or associated employees assume any liability or responsibility for it. Also, no such information, documents, or materials will be returned to you. All liability with respect to actions taken or not taken based on the contents of this segment are hereby expressly disclaimed. Visit the KFK website for the full legal disclaimer.
Welcome in, Noco Now. It's Ask a Lawyer segment time. I have a feeling this is going to be a good one. Taylor Myers with Taylor Made Legal Services joining me in the studios. Taylor, how are you?
I'm doing well, other than you mimicking.
No, like I said, we've been arguing all morning over some things, and we'll get into that later on, I suppose. But Havila with Bruno Lilly Legal is up on the line today. Havila, how you doing? Can you hear me?
I'm good. Can you hear me?
Yep, we're all set. You had a court appearance that was supposed to be at 9 o'clock this morning, and it rolled way longer.
I got called up at 10, so the life of being a lawyer.
How do you guys deal with that? I mean, we're just constantly being bumped around and having no control over your schedule.
Well, we're dealing with it right now. Like, we gotta wing it.
I like that. All right, so we're going to be talking about getting served today, papers. This is an interesting one. It's one that I don't think a lot of people know a whole lot about what the process looks like. Havila, let's start with you. Let's talk divorce first. So if somebody gets served divorce papers, can they just go nope and just like walk away, or what is the process like?
If you get served any papers.
Havila, are you still there? You cut out. Say it again, Havila.
Should probably throw it to Taylor.
All right. Yeah, let's try and get a better connection there. So I'll ask you the same question, Taylor. When you get the served papers like that, it's freaky for a lot of people.
Yeah, I don't. Now I'm nervous what Havila was going to say. It's the job of the server, and you get a process server to verify, kind of like how you see in the movies, is this you? And if it is that person and they serve you, you can't just say no and walk away.
You have to take the papers.
Yes.
All right.
And I mean, you don't have to physically take them, but whatever you're getting served with, especially like in a divorce or in, say, some sort of like civil lawsuit, if you don't take them, then a lot of times long story short, they're going to enter a judgment against you. And so you want to know what the papers say.
Yeah, you want to be informed when something like this comes up. But we were just talking, you know, the divorce process through and through. A lot of people don't know what it all means because hopefully a lot of people aren't divorced more than once at least. But well, walk us kind of through. So you get served the divorce papers. Then what happens?
Well, so there's... in Colorado, there's two ways you can do it. And a lot of people don't know because they have this misconception that you have to get served the papers. Mm-hmm. That's only if one of the parties necessarily disagrees with the divorce and the other person files. You can go in together and it actually saves the parties money if you go into the courthouse
really?
Together and you agree and you don't have to get served. But because then, you know, you save them going to, say, the Weld County Sheriff and them finding you and having to get you served and say, is this
right.
you? And then if the sheriff can't do it, you have to hire someone private to go and find where you live. And sometimes I have had people try and not get served.
Yeah, it's insane to me how it all goes about. And so you get the paper served to you. What's next? I mean, is there a first initial consultation? Obviously, you're going to get, in large part, a divorce lawyer or something like that, a family lawyer. What's next?
Yeah, so that's actually what I was just doing before I was in here is what's called an initial status conference. So in Colorado, you have about 91, 92 days before you actually file those papers to when you can be divorced. And it typically takes longer than that if you have kids. But in that initial paperwork you get served, it says, here's your first court date. If you have a lawyer, it's a different date than if you do it on your own. That's called pro se. And so, you know, it's hard. The one I just got out of, the other side doesn't have an attorney. And so they're pro se. And as an attorney, you have to be really, really careful in talking to that person, because obviously, you know, this is your job, right? And so the other person today was asking me a lot of procedural questions that I tried to answer best I could without obviously giving her legal advice.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I didn't, I had never thought about that. How does it change it for you when you do have a case like this and they're representing themselves? Is it easier for you since you're not going up against another attorney, or does it make it harder?
It's harder because a lot of times you hope, sometimes not. Sometimes there are those attorneys that make it much more difficult, and that's where attorney fees get really high. But most of the time, especially here, I like to think we have a really good group of family law and civil attorneys where you want that person to have an attorney because that's the person who's explaining, okay, you're calling in, this is what we're discussing, and guide them through that process. And they trust that other person versus me having to call the other person. And they're fighting with me. And it's almost like feels like me being a bully to them because I do know what the process is like. And they feel like a lot of times they're being taken advantage of.
Yeah, and it makes sense. And that's why it would be better if both sides, you know, did have one. That makes complete sense. Are most divorces, would you say the majority of them are, you know, kind of amicable? It's easy for everybody to say, hey, this is going here? Or are most of them pretty nasty?
I don't know the statistics on it.
In your experience?
In my experience, I'd say 60%, 70% nasty. The rest are amicable. The ones that are amicable, it's nice because obviously, but in a lot of those, both parties are pro se. And so I don't see a lot of those because they do go to the courthouse themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It is possible to get through a divorce and not hire an attorney and it end up being okay and things go smoothly, but I don't hear about those.
Right. Well, and I would imagine that if there's a divorce happening and it's going like that, maybe they should consider not getting divorced. I don't know. That's very rare for it to be like that. How much trickier does it get when a business is involved, when there's a lot of assets out there? How much trickier do divorce cases get?
It's a lot trickier, and that's when I would recommend, if at no other time, at least talking to an attorney, because even for attorneys, we hire experts in those cases to say, okay, what's the business valuation? And we aren't experts on that either. That's why we're attorneys. We didn't go to business school. And it gets really complicated. And so you want someone to say, okay, this is how we are going to divide this asset.
And then, we're talking with Taylor Meyer here with TaylorMade Legal Services with Ask a Lawyer. When that does happen and you've got a battle and there's businesses and there's assets involved, is a lot of it negotiating between you and the other lawyer about, okay, I want to split this, or how does that get decided?
Yeah, a lot of a divorce is negotiation and knowing the law. And I mean, like any other just regular court case, it's you going back and forth. And that is going back to the pro se part, the pro se party. That's where it's difficult when they don't have an attorney, because under the rule of ethics, this is what we've been trained to do as lawyers, and we can't take advantage of that on a person who has no idea
kind of,
and is not aware of that. So you have to be really careful. But typically the way you do that is go to mediation in a divorce, and a mediator can kind of explain to both parties, this is typically what a judge will do. Here's the law. Here's my suggestion if they don't have an attorney, and hopefully get an agreement before it costs a lot of money to go to trial.
Right, right. I believe we've got Havila back up on the line. Havila, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Absolutely. All right, Havila. Well,
talking. Sorry about that.
No, you're all good. We've been talking about divorce and things like that, but I want to circle back around with you and talk about the actual serving of the papers.
Yeah, so I think Taylor did a good job of covering what service is in the civil process. I think, you know, people get wrapped up to avoid service at all costs. Generally, I tell people, unless there's a pretty darn good reason, to accept the papers so we can move on to the next step. There really isn't a good reason to avoid service.
Right. I mean, because even if you don't, I mean, if you avoid it, it's still going to be there. It's not like if you just avoid it, it's going to go away.
Right. Exactly.
So what on the criminal side of things, and this is what I've always wondered on the criminal side of things where you practice, is there really any like here you know, you've been subpoenaed, I guess. Is it in what way do the serving of the papers affect criminal cases?
So there's essentially three different ways where you would be quote unquote served with criminal charges. The first one is the second one is the prosecution can actually file charges and either request for an arrest warrant, or they can issue a summons and then have the officer go out and serve you that way.
Yeah, neither of those are good by any stretch of the imagination. I would have to imagine both of those are very costly as well.
Well, I mean, the defense part is costly, yes.
Yeah. We're talking with Havila with Bruno Lilly Legal and Taylor Myers with TaylorMade Legal Services here this morning. And I don't know, the divorce side of things, how long does that normally play out, Taylor, when you're talking about, is it three months? Is that 90 days? Where does that kind of land for you, Taylor?
That's the best case scenario. And typically, like I said, that doesn't happen. The longest case I've had in practicing is we filed in November of 2018, and they did not get a divorce, like a signed divorce, until the beginning of 2022.
Really?
So basically,
4 years?
Entire time I've been a lawyer.
Yeah, that is insane to me. So when you're talking about, I want to go back to the asset splittings and thing like that. Is the grounds for divorce, does that change the probability of you retaining your assets or getting more assets? Say if there was a cheating party or something like that, does that change?
No. Well, in Colorado, no. Colorado and most states now are no fault states. So you don't know. That's kind of goes back to the service. You don't need a reason to file for divorce other than you don't want to be married anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, unreconcilable differences. So it doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter as far as the assets go, unless there's extreme circumstances where you're about to get divorced, so you're spending the business assets in a way you normally wouldn't. And that's important for where an attorney comes in to say, hey, we're looking at the past 12 months. You were the one filing these papers. And a few months prior, you liquidated all the business assets and, you know, did some shady stuff. And so in that circumstance, it does come into play.
No, that's interesting. I hadn't even thought about that, because you do go spend all those assets and then there's nothing that left in the divorce. If you know that's how do you get reparations for that? I mean, how does that go about?
Throughout the divorce process, just negotiations, but also then if it gets bad enough and the person who you think is liable, asking the court for sanctions. And if typically the parties, there will be enough assets where you can say, hey, okay, you liquidated this asset worth, you know, $50,000. You're going to sell the house. The other party gets $50,000 more in that proceeds from that house. That's a very simple, you know, explanation for a very, very complicated process, typically.
Of course. And that's why we want to get some of the information out there. So, if you are going through something, I know Taylor's a great family lawyer to call as well on that side. Havila, are you still up there?
I am.
Havila, any final thoughts from you on the serving of papers? I know it wasn't ideal how we wanted to get together and talk today, but we've got plenty of time next week to do the same. But any final thoughts from you?
No. I don't have any final thoughts. I know I'm pretty boring today. Sorry.
No, you're all good. We'll drive safely, and we'll be looking forward to it. Throw your phone number and your website out there for me, Havila.
BrunoLilyLegal.com, 720-340-1373.
All right, Havila. Thanks so much. Sorry about that. Maybe the rest of the day will be better for you.
We'll see.
Thanks, Havila. I appreciate it. Taylor, appreciate you as well. Thanks for all the insight today. I really do appreciate it. Where can people get a hold of you at?
They can get a hold of me for a free consult at 970-939-8366. And I'm not going to throw my
You're going through a rebranding.
Website. Yeah, I'm going to get a new website and potentially change my business name, and we'll see what happens. So,
All right.
They can still call me at that same number, though. I did miss my partner in crime, though, today.
I know. It was weird. She was like, I mean, she was the voice of God coming through every once in a while from Havila. But I appreciate the insight on all that. We'll be back at it next week with Ask a Lawyer for sure. But Taylor, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
We can go back to arguing about the very important stuff.
The very important stuff. Dry shampoo. 10:32 the time. Let's get to the bottom of the hour news and Weather Center.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary. Weekday afternoons at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Fill my eyes with that double vision. No disguise for that double vision.
Ooh. You know, I've been floating the idea of DeSantis, Ron DeSantis, and Kristi Noem ticket for the 2024 Republican Party. Then DeSantis does this. I don't think it's that bad, but a visibly annoyed Florida governor, Ron DeSantis, admonished a group of high school students for wearing face masks at an indoor news conference Wednesday, saying it was time to stop what he called, quote-unquote, this COVID theater. What difference does it make to you, Ron DeSantis, if a group of high schoolers want to wear masks? Isn't that what we've been fighting for the whole time? Is the right to choose if we want to wear masks or not? DeSantis hasn't enforced anything in Florida. So what's it matter? That's what it's all about, is the right to choose. That's what you've been championing. And then you get this group of high schoolers and he goes after him. The Republican governor approached the students and asked them to remove their masks as they waited for him at the press event at the University of South Florida in Tampa. The college is located in an area where the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention still recommends indoor masking due to high COVID-19 risk. Quote from DeSantis, "You do not have to wear those masks. I mean, please take them off. Honestly, it's not doing anything. We've got to stop with this COVID theater. So if you want to wear it, fine. But this is ridiculous," he said, letting out an audible sigh and shaking his head. What good is that? Like, Why did Governor DeSantis think that he needed to go and say this to a group of high school kids? And his logic was not there either, because at the end of it, he goes, if you want to wear them, fine. They're like, yeah, we know. Yeah, we know. We know it's okay for us to do this. Thank you, though. Thanks for chiming in. Like, there was no reason for any of that to happen. I don't understand it. I know DeSantis has been a big-time opponent of the mask and vaccine mandates. He's running for re-election and is considered to be a potential 2024 GOP presidential candidate. I don't know. He's got a lot of national attention. Is he too close to Trump to win? I don't know. One of the students, think about that. Governor DeSantis, one of the students that Governor DeSantis approached was a 14-year-old. A 14. They don't even have their driving permit yet. 14-year-old Kevin Brown Jr., a high school freshman, told the Associated Press he was caught off guard by DeSantis and felt pressured to remove his mask. I was a little bit surprised at his tone, Brown said to the governor, adding that he chose to leave his mask on because there were many unmasked people around and he was wary of getting COVID-19. Brown's father, Kevin Brown Sr., said that he would advise DeSantis to, quote-unquote, stop bullying kids. Is that what was... I mean, I wouldn't call it bullying. I don't think I'd go that far, but it just makes no sense. Why do people do things like this on both sides? Keep your mouth shut, Governor. You've got it. You've got complete control. A 14-year-old kid has nothing to do with everybody wearing masks or not. And at 14 years old, would you have been able to make a conscious decision, or would you have gone along with whatever your parents were saying? I tell him it's his choice, so he made that choice, and the governor has no right to tell no kid or no one who they can or can't wear a mask. He doesn't have that right. Well, got bad news for you. He kind of does. He's the governor. At least Governor Polis told us we had to wear a mask or not go out. You get a shot at it. You start saying, okay, yeah, DeSantis might not be that bad of a candidate. And this isn't a huge story, but it's just one of those things that you shake your head at. Why? Why did that need to happen? Continuing to look at some national news, High Court sides with government in the Gitmo state secrets case. The Supreme Court ruled on Thursday for the U.S. government in a case involving a Guantanamo Bay detainee seeking what the government said is secret information. Abu Zubaydah, who was captured in Pakistan in 2002, was once thought to be a high-ranking member of the terrorist group Al-Qaeda. He was tortured while being held at so-called CIA black sites abroad before being transferred to Guantanamo Bay in 2006. He was seeking to get the testimony of two former CIA contractors as part of a Polish investigation into his treatment. This is an episode of The Blacklist, right? I mean, this seems like any cop show that you can find out there. Justice Stephen Breyer wrote in an opinion joined by six of his colleagues that the government had argued Zubaydah's discovery request could force former CIA contractors to confirm the location of the detention site, and that confirmation would in itself significantly harm national security interests. In our view, the government has provided sufficient support for its claims of harm to warrant application of the privilege, he said. It's interesting. It always makes me wary when the government's like, no, you don't need any information. You don't need to know what's going on here. You don't need this site. Let's just call it good. Let's just be okay right here. That always makes me a little nervous. But, I get it. That's where the conspiracy theory in me, the conspiracy theorist in me, starts to go a little rampant. What's the government trying to, what are they trying to hide there? What happened here? One last story here. At cartel extermination site in Mexico, nears 100,000 missing. For the investigators, the human foot burned, but with some fabric still attached, was the tip-off. Until recently, this squat-ruined house was a place where bodies were ripped apart and incinerated, where the remains of some of Mexico's missing multitudes were obliterated. How many disappeared in the cartel extermination site on the outskirts of Nuevo Laredo, miles from the U.S. border? Well, after 6 months of work, forensic technicians still don't dare offer an estimate. In a single room, the compacted, burnt human remains and debris were nearly 2 feet deep. Think about that. 2 feet deep of human body parts torn apart at this. Uncounted bone fragments were spread across 75,000 square feet of desert scrubland. Twisted wires, apparently used to tie the victims, lie scattered amid the scrub. Each day, technicians place what they find, bones, buttons, earrings, scraps of clothing, in paper bags labeled with their contents, Zone E, .53, Quadrant 1, bone fragments exposed to fire. We know that there is a huge problem with the cartel in Mexico. That's not a secret in any way, shape, or form. But what that cartel does doesn't get the spotlight shown on it very often. We don't talk about it, the details, very often, in large part because you can't get too close to the cartel without repercussions. But it's just, it's so insane. Those remains are sent off to the forensic lab in the state capital of Ciudad Victoria, where boxes of paper bags wait their turn along with others. They will wait a long time. There are not enough resources and too many fragments, too many missing, too many dead. In just at that just that one site, the Nuevo Laredo site, the Associated Press was given access this month. The insufficiency of investigations into Mexico's nearly 100,000 disappearances is painfully evident. There are 52,000 unidentified people in morgues and cemeteries. 52,000 unidentified, not counting places like this one, where the charred remains are measured only by weight. I really recommend you go and read this story on AP News. They've got pictures of the site. They've got videos there to go along with it as well. This is what we need to educate ourselves. And this is the type of stuff, too, that comes into the conversation about border control and border security. Because, yeah, are there innocent people who want to seek asylum here in the United States of America? Absolutely there are. But are there also evil people trying to get into this country? Absolutely they are. That's why it's so critically important for it to be done the right way and legally. But maybe that conversation is for a different time. I want to say thanks to Air Solutions in Greeley. I know it feels like the cold weather is never going to come back, but it's coming back on Saturday. Yeah, literally Saturday. It's going to be cold. Possibility of snow coming in. That's only 2 days away. Make sure you're getting your heater serviced, right? It's just like a car. You can only go for so long without changing anything or something breaking down. That's the same way your HVAC system is. Call Dusty Rhodes at Air Solutions. He is locally owned. It is veteran owned. And some of the best people you will meet are at Air Solutions. You can call him at 970-356-7072. 970-356-7072. That's Air Solutions here in Greeley. Let them know you heard about them on KFKA. 10:48 the time. We'll come back on the other side. We'll have the headline that caught our eye. Wrap up this edition of NOCO Now, presented by the J9 Agencies, right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Sports and the UNC Bears are on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
For the time here on a Thursday morning. Thanks for being with us. I am Tanner Schwint. Ryan Kelly doing the production work for us here, and let's see what Ryan's got for us back there. It's time to get to the headline that caught our eye. Get a good one today, Ray?
I have the best one, probably. This reads...
It's going to be a tremendous one, they'd say. Probably better than anything.
Yeah, better than anything. San Diego Zoo's giant porcupine puppet unveiled at Los Angeles Park.
There's a porcupine puppet? It's not a real porcupine?
It's like massive and kind of scary looking.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it like animated?
I think so. It's nearly 40 feet in circumference, and it's believed to be the world's largest puppet.
That's insane.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Why it's two stories as well.
Two stories?
Two stories.
I don't know why I'm like this, but who gives a damn? Like, why would they go out and do this? Who one day just thought, you know what would be a good thing to do? Let's make a two-story tall puppet of a porcupine.
There's a lot of porcupine fans out there.
Are there?
Yeah. Porcupine's a popular
specimen. Do you have any factual data to back that up?
No, but just word off the street.
Oh, yeah. I get that. You get the word off the street. I don't believe you. Also, you can't pet a porcupine.
You could with, like, gloves.
I'm going to let... Why are you defending porcupines? Like, porcupines are not a top-tier animal.
I'm a really big porcupine stan.
I see that.
Yeah.
I see that. Makes no sense to me. Like, that's not a top 50 animal.
No? Not for you?
Not for me.
It's like... Top 20 for me.
You're so such a liar. So what are they hoping to gain out of this? Is it just a marketing stunt?
Just for fun.
Just for us to have this lively conversation.
Yeah. They said it's a wonderful two story Brazilian porcupine to inspire the youth about the beauties of wildlife and connect it because we couldn't bring all the animals from the San Diego Zoo here.
That's just a bunch of PR BS. That's all it is. I appreciate it, Ryan. Let's take one more look here at our accessories with a hair and flare poll question. What's the biggest problem facing Colorado? Well, high prices right now. 56% of people are saying those high prices is the biggest problem. How do we figure it out? How do we solve it? Well, that's up to our elected officials to get it done, and hopefully that is the case. All right, let's break it down for you the rest of the way today. Clark and the Coach coming up next. Bruce Dick, Clark Johnson from 11 to noon, then 12 to 2. Brady Hole's got a loaded show today. He's got Tad Boyle, head coach of the CU Buffs basketball team. He'll be coming on the program, and he's got the David Roddy Show. He's got Rams and Buffs on the program today from 12 to 2. Make sure you check that out. And then coming up this afternoon, it's the Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary, 3 to 5. 5 to 6 will be the college basketball tip-off show with Brady Hole, Chris Abshire, and Kevin Lytle. And at 6:30, Jerry Schimmel on the call with the pregame show starting at 6:30 for UNC and Montana. It looks like that's going to be the matchup in the Big Sky Tournament. How do the Bears handle it tonight? Tune in to find out on 1310 KFKA. Tomorrow, we'll be back at it on a Feel Good Friday. We'll talk with Jerry Schimmel after the Montana game. We'll talk with Cody Wilson about this storm that's moving in over the weekend. And then we're doing sitcom trivia. Brian Gary, Brady Hole, and myself. That one I think I'll be okay at. I haven't won one. We're in March now. I have not won a trivia. I'm 0 for 2 in the first 2 months. It's time to change that tomorrow. And you can win a $20 gift card to the Tavern at St. Michael's Square. Big thanks to Ryan Kelly. Appreciate him. I am Tanner Schwint. We'll be back at it tomorrow right here on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFK. We'll talk to you then.